Well, that was a bit frantic, wasn't it, brothers and sisters? It is Tuesday, January the 21st, 2025, Boblimpdoc. It's almost 1:30 a.m. on the Olympic Peninsula, not far from the sector guards who keep the portals safe. If you wander deep into the woods of the Olympic Peninsula, you'll find portals to various places. You'll find tunnels to outer spaces. If you go walking in them woods, you'll wonder if you could see a glowing light, see the center of it all, see the mandala to understand the mandala. Yes, indeed. Can you believe it? So this might not be a very long podcast. It's more of a personal update one. I am still trying to tack away, to use a sailing terminology. I'm still trying to, maybe better, more like come about. I'm still trying to turn away from the news, quote unquote. And that's what's going to come up in this hopefully brief podcast. But you never know. I'm going to drink a little water if that's okay. A friend of mine has a term. He calls it brain rot. And it really is. It's brain rot. There's almost nothing useful. The one thing I would say is it does seem like last July, after the McPoyle plot, and I'm not going to say more than that, I don't believe anything about these assassination attempts. I am so sorry that I am skeptical. It's not to say I know what happened. I'm fairly certain what we've been told what happened is not true. But that doesn't mean I know. It does seem like the PSYOP flipped. It didn't end, but it seemed like it flipped last summer. And maybe there are no lies. Maybe this is all truth, but I don't really believe that. We're going to have to think on it. I keep thinking about January 10th, 2020, because that was that day when even the COVID wasn't really a complete thing yet in terms of being in the public attention. That was that day I felt as if, you know, the rumbles were getting louder and the nonsense was getting crazier. And one of the, I'm not saying very original insights I had, was that towards the end, when we're really close to things falling apart, this doesn't mean the end of the world. This just means when we get to the point that the center cannot hold. In essence, when we get to the point of the collapse of the US government, they would toss a lot of stuff at us that would look like hope. They would, in a figurative sense, open up prisons. In a sense, they would allow people to speak their minds. They would give people the idea that suddenly, all of a sudden, things are about to get really good. And I told my listeners in January 2020, if this happens, as counterintuitive and fucked up as this sounds, you need to be concerned. You know, you need to be very concerned if this happens. And then, as the COVID evolved, I came to realize that it was worse. That if we had this coming about in the PSYOP, if we had this flip to the other side, it signified something a lot bigger than just a financial crisis. And that's the key point. If you're thinking that the worst thing we're going to face is a financial hangover, that's not going to happen. Because this drunk is not going to stop drinking until one of two things happen. No more alcohol or no more drunk. That's it. And there's plenty of alcohol. So this drunk, the U.S. government, the dollar empire, is going to keep drinking until it's over. And at this point, they will do everything they can to convince you that everything is okay. They don't really care what happens to those people someplace else. And frankly, neither do most of the people out there in the United States of America. If you have a conversation with them about, is it weird to drop 10,000 tons of TNT per square mile on anybody in a year? No, their eyes gloss over. They can't even reason about simple things. Most of the people out there are deeply, deeply entranced, confused, under control, and mostly because they want to be. And unlike that Dr. Malone guy, I'm not gaslighting them. They are being manipulated. But as I've said so many times, going back pretty much 10 years, when it comes to lying, there are two sides. There's the person doing the lying, and then there's the person that frankly wants to believe. It's a lot like hypnosis. Hypnosis works on people who are open to being hypnotized. If you're not open to it, it probably won't work. If you want to hear a lie, there are so many liars ready to give you one. And so when we get done with this podcast today, I just want to reaffirm, be really careful about the news right now. Everything makes it seem as if it's morning in America again. But if you were a kid in the 1980s like me, you came to realize that was bullshit too. Well, this is bigger bullshit, and it's not linear. This is orders of magnitude bigger. So whatever is hiding on the periphery, it's not a small thing, and it's not going to be a good thing. Here's a headline from Zero Hedge. Trump pardons approximately 1,500 January 6th political hostages. This is a big one. And frankly, this could be half true. Like, some of these could actually be people, useful idiots, who chose to go to the January 6th nonsense. I told people, I am on the record saying, do not go. And if you're going to go to Washington, D.C., go to the Eccles Building. Go to the Pentagon. And if you're willing to drive further outside of town, go to Langley. Go to NSA headquarters. There are places you could go where you would get close to power. But the House of Representatives is not one of them. Neither is the White House or the Senate. Sorry. Everybody who went there flunked. And they didn't do it on purpose. They did it, if they were useful idiots, because they were surrounded by feds. They were surrounded by manipulators. I've been there. I've seen it. I've seen the manipulation. I saw it in the summer of 2020. I saw the nonsense. I was pretty certain a lot of people in those BLM Antifa crowds marching up and down 12th Avenue were paid fakers. And some of them probably turned around the next day and went to a Proud Boys march. Some of them are useful idiots. Another great thing about the coffee filter, aka the mask, is that it made LARPing Antifa, LARPing Proud Boy, LARPing all this bullshit so much easier. This is not accidental. In fact, in some ways you could say you can't have these bullshit ops we've had the last 5 years unless you convince a lot of people there's a monkey herpes. And if you don't wear the coffee filter, you're going to get the monkey herpes, and it's going to kill you and tear you out inside, and you'll poop blue poop. Your poop will turn blue. And like Chris Martinson said in the spring of 2020, it'll crawl up your poop pipes. You'll be sitting on the toilet, and unless you're smoking a cigarette, you can't possibly be safe. I have talked about this podcast too much, but in part because it's been a kind of a sensitive issue for me. I could not see through a glass darkly. I couldn't. In late 2019, I think, like a lot of people, I had a sense of the magnitude. But I did not fully understand the details because, like a lot of people, you know, I can't actually see the future. We have intuition, we have assumptions, we have whatever information we have. But at the end of the day, the future is going to be written without our help. Period. It's just going to happen. Some of our choices will impact it, but in the big picture, it's not something we can control. God can control. And if you don't believe in God, nobody can. And I remember talking about the pandemic scenario in the podcast I did called The Great Discontinuity. And I mentioned I didn't think it was likely because pandemics can get out of control. But what I did not see was a fake pandemic. A fake pandemic is so fucking brilliant. It is fucking brilliant. It's genius. But I hate to break it to you, brothers and sisters, that can't possibly happen unless Trump is in on it. Like, he has to be in on it. You can't really imagine that scenario without Trump knowing, or you just have to assume the guy's a giant fucking idiot. You don't have a lot of choices here, is my point. If you got suckered into believing he's here to help you, you need to think about that. You need to remember he was president in 2020. What did he do exactly to protect your freedom? January 6th is one of these penultimate limited hangouts. And if you want to spend all day there, you can. But if you do go to Washington, D.C. to protest power, make sure you stop at the Eccles Building. And if you don't know what that means, then I don't think you remotely understand power in the United States of America right now. Not even fucking close, you shithead. So I'm going to read something, and then we're going to talk about it, because this is worth reading. It's not a long read. It comes from realclearpolitics.com, but was reposted to Zero Hedge. And the title of this essay, this editorial, is Putting an End to Trump Derangement Syndrome, written by J. Peter Zane, via realclearpolitics.com. My name is Peter. That's spelled with a D. Or Petter. And I suffer from Trump Derangement Syndrome. Oh boy. My case is not full-blown. I don't contend that the incoming president is a fascist bent on suspending elections, jailing his enemies, and otherwise erasing our constitutional republic. Oh boy. I find claims that he's a sexual predator as risible as the argument that he launched a coup on January 6, 2021. I gleefully whack-a-mole all the whack-doodle fantasies that pass as conventional wisdom among progressives and conservative never-Trumpers. And yet, because it is more mild and subtle, my TDS may be more dangerous. Thank you for your confession. This is so Orwellian. Even though I generally support Donald Trump's policies, I accepted the idea that he is beyond the pale. I agreed that his aggressive tweets, coarse language, and addiction to hyperbole were windows into a damaged soul. He just can't help himself. I wish that the Republicans had somebody, anybody else, to stand up against the Democrats, because Trump seemed to lack the temperament and, yes, the character to be president. These critiques are not pulled from thin air. Trump is Trump. My mistake was transforming these complaints into condemnation, defining the man by his off-putting traits instead of his manifest gifts. More disturbingly, I probably took this line to prove his unhinged haters that I had not drunk the orange Kool-Aid, not my finest hour. I offer this confession both to clear my conscience and to offer this message to other Trump supporters who might have a whiff of TDS. Stop! Stop! Our embrace of false narratives about Trump's character gives them credence. It is a major reason why he didn't defeat the ineffable, unqualified... Why he didn't defeat the ineffable, unqualified Kamala Harris by even a larger margin, and why his job approval ratings aren't higher. They serve as a springboard for more extreme attacks against him. Look, even his support... I can't read more of this. This is so fucking stupid. I am unable to read the brain rot past a certain point. It's like that dumb article from Stanford I could barely read yesterday, because once I get to a certain point of brain rot and this toilet stool garbage, you just can't do more. This is obvious propaganda, and it's stupid. But it does indicate where we're at, brothers and sisters. Now, I am going to read one quote from this stupid article that I just couldn't get to. Then suddenly, he became a pariah in 2015 when he threw his hat into the ring and dared to challenge the assumptions of the ruling class. In 2015, Trump was a superhero who jumped onto the world to save all the, you know, little boys and girls. Yeah, a pariah. Do you know what a fucking pariah is, you fucking idiot Petter? Do you? I can show you. I could take you on a fucking tour. You can research the meaning of the word and then come to a realization that Trump has never been a fucking pariah. The word basically comes from a description of being a member of the low caste in southern India. That's where the word comes from. But what it really deals with is a person who's lost everything. It's not just that they've been rejected. It's not just that some of their friends don't return their calls. It's not just about having a lawsuit or being investigated for being a felon. To be a pariah is to be an outcast, ignored, ostracized, and more or less living on the barest margins you can imagine. Trump has never been a pariah. Trump is not Moses. Trump is not a hero. And this guy, Petter, is a paid idiot. I don't think anybody can be this fucking stupid. I really don't. I don't believe this guy is this fucking idiotic. I'll shock you. Trump's not going to build concentration camps. And Trump, even though he could do it because he's Trump, because he's confused so many people as a figure, not as a person. I don't even know it's a real thing, that Trump. But Trump could probably convince people to turn in their guns. He's not going to do that either. Trump indicates that we're at a point in the game where things are about to get really fucking dangerous. Trump as a person is fucking irrelevant. Trump as a phenomena related to Sovietology and military psychological warfare and social engineering, if you prefer that term of art, Trump is interesting. And if you didn't understand that the shot heard around the world happened in July, you don't get it. That was the message, not only that he was going to be president, but that Boblimpdoc was almost over. And that the bullshit was going to mostly transition to something quite real quite soon. And I can't imagine it's a small thing. Not at this point. The level of the love fest that surrounds Trump is so mind-boggling. The only place I can get to, logically, is that people are sensing the ugliness. And once again, they're finding a lesser catastrophe, some sort of limited hangout, a place where they can put their hat so they don't have to think about whatever it is, because they don't have enough information, which makes it, frankly, more fearful. Because we've been lying, because we've been deceiving, and I say we because these liars can't work without our help. Because we've been doing these things, we are further from the truth than we've ever been in the history of this country. Ever. Like, there have been times of deception in this nation's history, but I would like to say we are way further today than we've ever been. And it's hard to say if there's any way back. I don't think there is. I also don't believe there's that much time left in the game in terms of the current phase, whatever you want to call it. You don't have to call it Boblimpdoc, but I do think history became unstuck in 2019, and I do think we're about to go to a whole new phase that is an order of magnitude different and probably worse than anything anyone's ever seen. And it's entirely plausible that the folks of LA have gotten a glimpse. And if you want to believe it's about hobos with Bic lighters or BLM Antifa, you believe whatever fucking nonsense you want to. I don't think it's the hobos with Bic lighters who are keeping the fires in the Arctic Circle burning. Year-round now. They just burn. I don't think so. And if you're all hopped up on how cold it is right now because Raytheon and Lockheed delivered a little bit of that special snow trademark, you should look at the temperatures around the Arctic Circle while it's so cold where you're at. It's weird. It doesn't make very much sense, and they don't talk about it. They don't. The fact is, something is happening, and it's not about Greta Thunberg, and it's not about Al Gore, and Trump is probably a giant fucking von Neumann smokescreen. If you know what a replicator is, imagine Trump is a replicator of bullshit. He is a form of bullshit that makes more things that make bullshit. Somebody comes to his place and they get infected. Or maybe the better comparison is like John Carpenter's The Thing. A little cell of Trump gets into your coffee and all of a sudden you're like this Petter dude. What's his fucking... Petter Zane? God damn, that's a shitty name for a person that doesn't want to be considered kind of gross. But yeah, Petter probably met somebody that met Trump, and that's how these STDs spread. You know, again, he's talking TDS. No, I'm sorry, Petter. The Trump thing that you have is a fucking STD. And it jumps from body to body, and it has you write the nonsense you're writing. Oh, I was once really critical of Trump, but now I'm not. Yeah, what did Dr. Freckles once say about shit like that? It really does reveal itself. The guy was never opposed to anything. The guy is another example of someone that makes a living telling people what they want to fucking hear. Because I hate to break it to you, America, whoever, whatever, five people who listen to my podcast, nobody wants to pay for shit they don't want to hear. And that includes lies. Like, nobody wants to pay for lies, but what's even worse than paying for lies that are just terrible is paying for the truth that's worse. I'm telling you right now that something very ugly is probably so close that every day we talk about it, we're probably losing time to do something. I don't know what. You know, maybe it is as simple as calling people you know that you haven't called in a long time and just tell them you love them. Because it's not the end of the world, but some crazy ass shit's about to unfold. And Trump and all the fucking headlines you read are designed to keep your mind off of that. They're popping smoke left and right. Left and right. Trump is a von Neumann smokescreen. He is a smokescreen that makes little things that can make smokescreens. And everybody that seems to come in contact with him now suddenly understands the cult of Trump and that he's like Moses and he was a pariah. I don't think people understand words at this point, but they love using them. Moses was never allowed to see the promised land, okay? And that's a significant idea and concept in the context of Moses. If you ignore that, you're kind of ignoring an important part of the fucking story, you moron. So if you call Trump Moses, you're a fucking idiot, okay? That's it. You haven't read the Bible, you don't understand the Bible. I may not understand it well enough, but calling Trump Moses is fucking crazy. And I just have to emphasize, Trump has never in his entire fucking life existed like a pariah. If you use the word pariah in the context of Trump, you do not understand what the word means. It means, furthermore, Petter, that you're a fucking dumbass. In fact, I think I've invented a new thing. It's related to the STD that Trump spreads. You're a Petterphile. You're a Petterphile. You spread the STD. Stupid Trump discussions. Yeah, STD, stupid Trump. It jumps from one... Dan, it's like a von Neumann bullshit machine. It is. And I told you this wouldn't be a very long podcast, and I'm hopefully sticking to it. I didn't really want to just think about this any longer. I hope I'm wrong. I can't see how I am, and I also don't claim originality. And this is not about Trump. I mean, like I said, to me, he's just a fucking joke. And Biden was a fucking joke. And these people are jokes. The joke's on you. If you think voting works, you probably think that the 1-6 people went to the right place. But if you understand where the power is, then you know, yeah, you know that the 1-6 thing was bullshit. And maybe some quote-unquote innocent people got suckered into it. But folks, at this point, if you're playing that stupid game, you're going to win stupid fucking prizes. You're going to be a pedophile. Pedophiles spread the dynamics of the Trump STD. They explain how they once were... I was once TDS and now I'm STD. You know, these pedophiles, whether it's Elon Musk... Now it's Zuckerberg. Who will it be next? I mean, imagine Hillary Clinton visiting the Oval Office and sitting down with Trump. Imagine that rehabilitation. And I use that term because that's a Soviet term. Rehabilitation. Trump is also a good example of what happens when someone's rehabilitated. That doesn't make him a good guy. That just means, like I said, he's in on the fucking joke. But yeah, things are so weird right now, and they want so much bullshit out there. They want such a smoke cover that even I could imagine. Again, you have to really stay ahead of the curve on these things. I can imagine Hillary visiting the White House and Trump and Hillary having one of those historic conversations and bringing people together again. Again, who knows what happens next, right? Quote from Dr. Freckles I was going to read, but it seems a little bit inappropriate. And so, and Dan, and you're like saying to yourself, Dan, you're talking about approps? Yeah, that's crazy. That's some kind of bullshit. I am going to be doing a couple different projects over the next few weeks. I am saying weeks and not months because I have this sense of frenzy when it comes to those things we feel like we need to do. I'm going to try to finish the first book of that Bigfoot War One series, not because I think anything's going to come of it, but also, hopefully I am wrong. Maybe I'm wrong about a lot of things. I kind of hope I am. I kind of hope this time next year I can at least just throw away that sense of foreboding. And then maybe I go see a counselor, a psychiatrist. I mean, I'm trying to be as rational as I can be in the context, because what I am seeing is a thick, thick sort of occultation or obscuration, camouflage. This camouflage is growing thicker every day. I mean, in 2019, you could still get pretty good video footage, more or less, of what's going on in the Arctic. And then, because of the COVID, and then later because of the Ukraine war, it became a thing that was being curated very well by NPR et al. So that all of a sudden, those really shocking videos of late 2019 that had Russian scientists using words like fuck, you couldn't see those videos. The videos of the Arctic boiling with methane. But this is worse. This is worse. This is, this is worse than what was going on in those months in late 2019 and early 2020. And I kind of hope it's a psychological disorder. I kind of hope it's a matter of that, because it really doesn't matter either way though, does it? It gets back to that fundamental issue of what a curse looks like. When you think about people understanding what's going on, it is more of a curse than anything else. You can try to pretend it's helpful, but how is it helpful? It's like what I said the other day about the geoengineering. If they came out and told us they've been doing it, and frankly, today it was awful. I don't think most people I was working with out at the garden, so to speak, at work. I don't think most of the people noticed that. I was working on a project today, just so you know. I know, well, doesn't everybody have, you know, MLK off? Well, yeah, but we had some stuff we were doing as a project. And I was working in the garden, and I was outside, and I looked at the sky over Port Angeles, and it was god-awful. And it was obvious. And it should have been obvious to everybody with eyes to see. So here's the deal. Either I'm really fucking crazy, or, yeah, I think we are close to something. And if they come out and tell us the quote-unquote truth, even if it's almost 100% truth, like I said, you know, they come out and tell us after a few weeks of them turning it off this summer, I think most Americans, perhaps most of the world, would come out and say, please keep doing it. I don't think there's a happy ending there. It's like the housing thing. I'll have a conversation with someone. Let's say I'm having a conversation with a public school teacher. And they'll come to me and say, Dan, I can't afford to find a house. You know, I can't afford a house. I can't afford an apartment. And then I come back and explain, listen, buddy, the money for your school, the money for your job, for your principal, for everything, that money comes from property taxes. And if those properties don't accrue in value, I don't know how to break it to you, you have less stuff for your school. You see, this is the situation of America right now. People want to believe that there's some sort of additional grift or lucky break or something magical that will keep the stock market floating and the grocery stores filled with stuff. But there isn't. I think we're done. You know, I don't know anybody with anything extra to be ripped off. Now, of course, I'm at the lowest rung, more or less. I'm much closer to being a pariah, by the way, than Trump has ever been in so many ways. I mean, when these people scream about being pariahs, you can hear them around the world. That's literally the opposite of what a pariah is. You never hear them. You don't see them. You ignore them. You don't fucking care about them. Yeah. So assume I'm not crazy. It doesn't matter. In fact, probably I would have been better off staying in some type of delusional state, working at Microsoft and making whatever shitty money I made, and maybe I'd have a girlfriend, and maybe we'd be talking about buying a house. I'm too old to have a kid, but maybe we'd get a dog, and I could have done all that shit the last 5 years. And frankly, I would have missed out on Utah. I would have missed out on Boomer. I would have missed out on a fair amount of peace and all that fucking bullshit and all that trouble and all that weird chaos. I would have missed out on, you know, a good solid 2+ years of peace. More peace than I'd had in my whole life, really. More acceptance, more just belonging. And it wasn't perfect, but the fact that it wasn't perfect reminds me of just how much peace there was. So I don't really regret my choices, but I'll be honest with you. There have been more than a few days when I think about the futility of it, when I would rather just not know. You know, ignorance is bliss. I suppose that's a cliche, and everybody says it over and over again. But then again, it might be true. It probably is true. It's a common theme. When people discuss the fundamental questions of metaphysics and reality, it often deals with the question of, what do you find acceptable? Not acceptable criteria, but what can you personally accept? Could you accept the world as a simulation? Can you accept that there might be a God? Can you accept that there is no God? Could you accept that we're basically, yeah, little creatures managed by aliens? Aliens so intelligent that we have nothing in common with them, and our purpose is simply to participate in a game that maybe they get enjoyment out of. Who knows? Could you accept it? If someone came up to you and said, your mom's not your mom, your dad's not your dad, that these people are fakers and you were placed in a family as an experiment, even if it was true, could you accept it? And again, you know, if you've seen the movie The Matrix, this is a bit of a theme, not just in that film. You could watch THX 1138. You could watch Logan's Run. There are lots of stories and sci-fi films and other types of artifices of that world that talk about that fundamental question. Would you want to know the truth? And if you did know, would it fucking matter? Now, if you're a Christian, it does matter. It actually really, really, really does matter. And it's another reason why you should be really careful about calling Donald Trump Moses, because he's more like, you know, I thought it would be the Pope, and I still think it will be, but he's more like the dark John the Baptist. That's who he's more like. He's more like the person that arrives just before the other guy gets here. And that's as much as I want to say about that. And it does kind of put J.D. Trance in the running. I mean, he's not a perfect fit. He's a little bit too pudgy. But it puts him in the running. It puts him up there as a possibility. You know, there's a line from a movie where somebody says the days of clean living are over. I think that was late 2019. And it wasn't so much about clean living. It was that whatever world was about suburbia and college funds and IRAs and retirement and that entire world, the world of the Levitt town. In fact, that might be a good way. Imagine there's an epic of American history, and it began roughly at the end of World War II. And even though it was rocky at times, it didn't finally end until 2019. And we could call it the epic of the Levitt town, the epic of the suburban villa, the epic of the, yeah, Tupperware, the epic of the TV dinner, the epic of having everything you want or need at your fingertips, and then, frankly, complaining more than you should when you consider the situation for the rest of the planet. In 2019, that world ended. And a lot of Americans are still coming to grips with that. That's why Trump is so fucking brilliant. I don't mean him personally. But if you're an engineer of military psychological warfare, Trump has been a coup for the last 10 years. In fact, this is where Petter at least is pointing towards the truth. And as Sovietologists, we should be sensitive to that. Trump did arrive on the scene roughly 10 years ago. It was funny too, because that was about the time I said we had roughly 10 years left. That doesn't mean I saw 2020. It just means that, like a lot of people, I didn't see a lot of time left in this empire, the dollar empire. So, you know, it's like I said, I don't know anybody that has more to steal. What are you going to steal from Dan? You could take my keyboard. I don't know what you get for that. You could take the computers. You can take whatever food I have. You could take my life. But there's not really much left to steal. And the problem with all these things is that the cost of taking and stealing them is probably way more than anything you'd get for them. So we're at the point in the game where even if there is a little bit of oil left in the barrel, there's no feasible way for them to get at it. And I don't mean oil in terms of a natural resource, although that could apply too. I mean ripping off the hoi polloi, ripping off ordinary Americans. And there's lots of ways they've done it, to include inflation, but it's not just inflation. I would also add adulteration. That in the process of going through the Norman Borlaug Green Revolution, in essence, to steal from our good friend Greenspan, we were convinced that hamburger is steak, but what's worse is we've been convinced at this point that pink slime is steak, you know, through transitive closure. This is where we're at, folks. It's not just that your money doesn't buy as much, but what you buy isn't as good. And I know nobody wants, well, Dan, it's never been better. No, that's not true. They're lying to you if they tell you that. And maybe if you're super rich and you can afford clean food, if you know, you know, because at this point, if you're growing food outdoors, it's not clean. I'm sorry. You could wash it all day, but the stuff that's getting into your food is getting in deep, and there's no way for you to clean it. At this point, if you're wealthy, you can probably afford food that's grown hydroponically, basically in a lab. The rest of us, are going to eat the garbage that is chewing up the stuff that's falling from the sky. And we've been doing that for decades. At least 20 years, you know. Probably longer. And I don't think it's accidental. You know, when people think about geoengineering, I don't think it's accidental that the Norman Borlaug revolution rolled around, probably right about the time the geoengineering needed to switch from not just the North and South Pole, but to kind of a lot of lower latitudes. And probably a lot of folks understood that the food supply at some point would just give out. Who knows? I mean, this gets back to the question of, even if you were to know that you lived in a box, and there's a great movie you should see. I think it came out a number of years before 2020, so you should see it for that reason alone. But the movie, and it's a British film, is called Await Further Instructions. If you lived in a box, and food came in, and the internet came in, and you had access to basic things, you could even play video games, you have a treadmill, you have everything you need and some of the things you want, maybe even beer, who knows. If you lived in that box, a lot of people might be okay with it. Even if you knew it was a box, you might not ever know more than that. All you know is that there's these little doors and little levers and stuff comes in and stuff leaves, but you don't really know more than that, neither do I. I guess this podcast is really about my admission that even if I helped some people with my podcast in the last couple years, there's a lot of futility to this, at least from my perspective. I could have done a different kind of podcast, and I think I would have had a chance at quote-unquote becoming popular. But to do that, I would have had to embrace Bitcoin. I'd had to embrace Donald Trump, probably. Or at least become so ultra-liberal crazy that people could make me their, you know, lightning rod of liberal crazy. But I can't do any of those things. I can't embrace Donald Trump as a savior, but I also can't pretend that he's the ultimate evil. He might be hiding something, and that's what I've been saying, but as a person, I don't know anything about the guy. Does he seem kind of greasy? Sure. Who doesn't these days in positions of power? They all seem kind of greasy. All of them. You can say what you want about J.D. Trance. He seems uber greasy, and his secrets are probably deeply hidden. That's as much as I want to say there. But yeah, none of them seem clean to me. None of them seem like people I would let watch my dog if I had a dog. Or, you know, if I had a kid, I definitely wouldn't let them watch my kid, you know, babysit. So none of these people are good people. I think they're all kind of equally greasy on a certain level. If you think you know that you live in a manipulated, complicated Skinner box, and that maybe even, like the request of Hitler to Speer, in this case, that box is actually wired to explode, if you know, you know. If you live in that complicated, intricate, and doomed to fail Skinner box, and everybody you know is either in the box or they're pretending to be the guy outside of the box, and even they begin to realize there could be a greater box, like a bigger box, like you're Robert Duvall, you crawl out of the underground weirdness towards the end of the movie, right at the end of the movie, you get out of there, and then maybe you realize there's a greater level of weirdness. You escape Scientology to find yourself in a greater Scientology, something like that. There's nothing you can do about it. You could say, well, Dan, I can be like Neo, and I can break the code. If this were a scenario involving a extraordinarily advanced civilization, because it would have to be at this point, in my opinion, if that were the scenario, they'd have to be very advanced. You're not going to defeat them. You might irritate them. You are, and I would be, just insects to them. That would be the case. And I don't believe that. I believe in God, but for people that don't believe in God, when they hear Christians talk about God, I'm not surprised they think about that scenario of the advanced alien, that you know, you can't understand and doesn't care about you. That's kind of the way people think about God. I think I should close out this podcast because I'm dragging it out. I'm not going to end my podcast, but I am going to really make an effort to switch to fiction, because why not? I feel like if I read an article like this Petter guy's article or some other stupid article, it just seems like I'm reading fiction at this point. You know, as a Sovietologist, you want to have a little bit of truth, right? Some kind of truth you can derive, but what if we reach the point where it really is a lot of garbage, smoke, really? At that point, you've just identified there's smoke. You don't know why there's smoke. You don't know why there's so much smoke. You don't know why it's spreading everywhere, but there's smoke. That's what I can tell you right now. And that the smoke reminds me a little bit of late 2019. Beyond that, I don't know. It is Tuesday, January the 21st, 2025. Could be Boblimpdok. Could be Grinken time, could be something else. Could be a race of hyper-intelligent dogs from a planet 8,000 light years away. They found how we treat this place. We don't hand out enough bacon. We don't give out enough cheese. So they want to take care of the human disease. They put us into a giant playpen. They put us into a bouncy castle. We think we control things. The little birdies, they aren't real. They spy on us. They look in the windows, the keyholes. Could be, right? Could be we're just a part of an intricate nightmare inside of the brain of a child in a coma. We could be. We could just be the manifestation of some crazy X-Files episode. We could simply exist and not exist at the same time, transitioning through intermediate states of non-existence. And maybe we sit down at a table, you know, on the Champs-Élysées or someplace in Paris, along the Seine, at a little cafe, and we contemplate our existence as an eminent thing of effervescence that pops into the world and disappears like bean. Or beans, right? Because beans ain't here. And that's sad. Could be. Could be any number of things. But yeah, I'd like to focus on the fiction because the news has gotten incredibly stupid. It could change. I don't think it will. I think the level of stupid right now is so crazy that either Trump really is a savior of some sort. You know, he's doing these miracles and all of a sudden everything's going to be fine, which means that assuming I get psychiatric help, I'm going to have that six or, I don't know, seven-figure inflation-wise job in a year or two. I'll have some sort of apartment and maybe I'll buy a Frenchie, right? Because I will have gotten over all my mental issues and I could see a Frenchie as a dog, just like you could see Trump as Moses. Maybe, right? God damn, wouldn't that be great? I might even end up with a girlfriend and we might even go to a bed and breakfast and have some sort of early morning sexual stuff, okay? Maybe I'll go sailing again on the great Puget Sound, and maybe the Puget Sound will regrow with life that hasn't been there for a while. Maybe the orcopods will have plenty of food to eat. Maybe the dead zones in the ocean will clear up. Maybe it'll start getting colder in the Arctic again, and we'll actually not see permafrost collapse. Who knows, folks? Maybe there'll be a nuclear war. Maybe there won't be. Maybe history's unstuck. maybe the joke of the epic of the Levittown world, the Levittown epic, maybe that was the joke that was on us, the normal people, quote unquote, much closer as normal people to being pariahs. And the joke was always on us. Because the epic of Levittown and what enabled it could never last. They knew it. And so the question was, did they know it could never last and then simply accept that chaos would follow? Or did they know it would never last and then also had a plan for what would come next? Have a great Tuesday.